Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation, our second conversation of the year, folks. Donald J. Trump, build our wall. I want to get into that because, you know, apparently all of a sudden all these liberals are against this border security that they supported for so long. And, you know, I want to get into this, what do they call it, manufacturing a crisis? Of course, you know, liberal media will go down there when there's no, they'll find a spot where there's nobody. See, here, oh, there's no one here. See, I told you, what crisis, no, whatever. No, I'm going to get into that because there are families of loved ones who've been killed by illegals who are offended. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Red Skelton. Yeah, he said something that's come true. Because a North Carolina county has been fined and they're being sued by the ACLU, which I strongly dislike those people. Because they start off their meetings, you know, giving it to God. You know, if you're in that meeting, Nancy Pelosi... See this wall is proving everything. We want a wall. We want border security. All liberals are doing is whining and complaining in their diapers. That's what they're doing, you know. They're not, where's their solution? Where's their, hey, you know. Remember, folks, I'll tell you what a wall is in a little bit. I'm going to get into the controversy over H.R. Bill 420 that would regulate cannabis like alcohol. There's a lot of people that are like, cha-ching, finally, and there's a lot of people 100% against it. I'll get into it and I'll explain what that's all about. Wow, I'm on cloud nine on this one. A person found a penny from their lunch money that is a penny that is reportedly worth millions. I'll get into that because I'm a coin nut. It's a great find. Also, I want to get into Manchester United and upcoming with Tottenham and the European football. So, welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of, folks. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Think about that as you're going through your evening or day or whenever you're watching the program or listening to it. I love putting in that watching the program. It's fun. And some people say, I can't see the guy. It's on the air, folks. But anyways, Red Skelton, back in the day, And there's a Paul Harvey one, If I Was the Devil, and it's incredible. And the Red Skelton one, he was a stand-up comedian, and he talked about the school in Indiana where he was. And he's like, well, we're adding two new states to the United States, and they've added two new words to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. What do you think is going to happen if there ever becomes a day where, because of under God, is in the Pledge of Allegiance, they consider it a prayer and ban it from schools? Back in the 60s. What if, because there's under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, they're going to ban it? Imagine that. It's happening. You know, we have this world where take down that cross. That offends me. You're making me be a Christian by having that cross. No, you're not. 90% of the denominations I know This is what we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. But, you know, and you go from there. But how dare you? You insensitive. That's the world we live in today, folks. Because a North Carolina county pays 285 G's for opening meetings in the name of Jesus. I would be like, okay, great. Well, we're not going to change. Okay, so is there whatever, we're not going to change. I mean, the American Civil Liberties Union, how dare you push Christians? I work at a place that's run by Christians and Catholics, and guess what? There are people there that don't believe. Hard to imagine, but, you know, they just sit in silence. They don't sit there and say, how dare you open up a thing with a prayer? No, they just don't, like, whatever. And you do whatever you do if you're atheist. I don't know what you do because I'm not. But it's one of those things, man. They're. I'm gonna look up into the cases to see if I can find one where atheists are sued and lose. A cross doesn't make you follow Jesus Christ. It's a decision you have to make for yourself, and you may not want to follow because it'll change your life. You'll have up and downs. You know, people just have this notion that because you're a Christian, you're perfect. You know, left the door open and the cat's coming into the studio. Yeah, what the heck? Love my cat. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's like, you're a, how dare you try to turn me into a Christian by having a cross. Oh, but if you get rid of the cross, so aren't you turning me into an atheist by removing Catholic symbols and Christian symbols and Judaist symbols? I just wonder. Makes you wonder, folks. Makes you wonder. But that's the world we live in, you know. How dare. Now, it didn't really say when I was reading the articles on this, because I found a couple of them. Like, if they can't do it, if they, I don't know, it doesn't really say that, like, if they're gonna get, if they can't, if they stopped, or, you know. To me, it's just another thing. It's just BS. It's just a pain in the butt because we're Christian and, you know. But anyways, that's the price we pay. You know, there are supposedly like TSA workers that are walking out, and all these, since the government shut down, we're not getting paid, we're walking out, we're doing this, and, you know, folks, you're still going to get you people living off the government, you're still going to get food stamps, don't worry, your free crap is still coming, don't worry, the people living off the government that are not working, because you make more off of unemployment because you got kids and you sit on your butt eating Cheetos and smoking cigarettes. Your money's coming. Don't worry. Us working people are going to make sure you get what you're entitled to. You know, but there's like TSA workers. Oh, we're quitting. We're walking out. I'm like, well, first of all, every paycheck you get is going to come to you. You're not done with your paychecks. It's not like they're taking away your paychecks. But this notion, for all you listening out there to the conversation, if you welcome to the conversation, welcome. It's the conversation you're a part of. But this was as of 8:15 tonight. Okay. So that you understand, because, you know, we're trying to work at it. The border wall, let's say we're going to erase the border wall from this conversation. right now, just for time's sake, just for right now, for this like 5 minute little rant. Okay, we're gonna exit the border wall. We're trying to come up with a spending bill to fund the government. Okay, I hate to tell you, but as of 8:15, the government stopped being funded $21,929,439,500,145 ago. Almost $22 trillion ago, the government stopped being funded. I wish I could just pull out my credit card and just keep spending and keep spending and keep spending, and when the credit limit's reached, I just increase the limit and just keep spending, pay off my credit card. Okay, I have to pay the minimum a month. That's what I have to do. Not the government. Just tax on to the spending. I forget, it was like $179,000 every taxpayer owes. Stuff just I've noticed a lot of products in the stores and stuff are just going up and up and up and up and up and up in price. I've been taking things, like, if I know that this is like something that's going to last for a very long time, I'm actually stocking up on things that don't go bad. And for at least a 10-year period. I mean, deodorant. Think about, like, deodorant. Deodorant will last, like, 5 years. If it doesn't have an expiration on the product that you're using, like a lotion, it's good for at least 5 years. But, you know, it's going to be ridiculous, man. Even with Trump, we're near hyperinflation. We got to stop spending all this money. I'm a Trump supporter, and we need to cut spending. I mean, there are people like, and this is another big issue, because I've been at places where they have like those, where cashiers are going to be gone because they're going to have like self-checkouts. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit there and self-checkout if I go to the grocery store and have a full cart full of 200 items. I'm not going to self-checkout. Bull crap. You can keep those jobs. You can say, no, I don't care if I got one item. I want to go. If you want me to check out myself, give me a uniform and give me a paycheck. Pretty soon restaurants aren't going to have servers. You're just going to take your order at a kiosk thing, and then you walk up to the window. It'll tell you when it's ready, and you walk up to the window, and you pick up your stuff like a server would, and you take it back to your table. That's probably not too far off, folks. And this lady, that doesn't take cash, I don't use car. Well, ma'am, don't worry. Give it about 5 years. Cash won't exist anymore. They're gonna phase out currency. You know, you're just gonna have like a debit. You're gonna have. She was kind of like, you're gonna have like a card that's gonna have everything on it. And he goes, don't worry, in probably 10 years, you're going to have something that they inject into you that you swipe your finger, and it's going to have every single personal information about you, your name, date, birth, everything. It's going to, you know, you go to cash thing, you're not going to have cash. You're not going to be able to put money aside. You're not going to take, like, cash that someone gives you and put it. It's all going to be on that thing, and if you have stuff on there, you got stuff. If you don't, you don't. Well, it's like I've said for a long time on the conversation, if you're a long-time listener, you know, if you don't like this company or that company, you're not going to be able to work at a hospital, because in the kitchen, the hospitals and the kitchens are run by three companies. And if you, well, the only company that runs all the hospitals in Illinois are run by this one company, all the kitchens and the hospitals. So if you wouldn't work for Huabuck, I'm just making up a company name like Werelove Company. If they took over a hospital's kitchen that you worked at and you hated them and you walked out and would never work for that company again, well, guess what? Every hospital kitchen in Illinois is run by that kitchen running company, that kitchen management company, so you'd be screwed. And that's what's going to happen. You know, you're not going to, pretty soon it's going to get to the point where if you don't want to, if you don't agree with a lot of what Starbucks stands for, you don't change their coffee. Well, it's going to get to the point where I think, like, okay, well, this one parent company owns 75 restaurants. So if you, so you're not going to be able to pick and choose, because no matter what, technically, if you go to Chili's, you're, the money's going in the same bank account as Spaghetti's and the 75 other restaurants. So you're not going to be able to say, well, hey, I'm going to take my money and spend it. Well, it's all going to this one giant conglomerate bank account. Just like a lot of the news outlets, they're owned, I mean, they're all owned by the same parent company. So if you say, well, this is fake news, I'm not going to watch, I'm going to watch this network. Well, it's probably owned by the same corporate conglomerate. CEO of this company runs these 10 networks. So if you don't like what this network stands for, you got to look at what this CEO stands for, because if, you know, because he's the one that is, because if you don't like him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you stand for. It doesn't matter, because if you want to do this or want to do that, you're screwed, because you can't pick and choose. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, and I'm not gonna shop here. I'm not gonna shop here because I don't agree with what this person said. That person said, well, you're screwed now because this company owns these 75 places. Not, you know, and that lady that my mom ran into is like, well, don't worry, you won't have currency in 5 years. You won't have this, you know. You know, it's like pretty soon they're gonna phase out. Checks are gonna get phased out. And I know our W-2s are wanting on, they're wanting digital copies. I can, give me a digital copy, I can, but how do I know, what if someone asks for, like actual documentation? Because, I mean, at least the last couple times when I did my taxes the 1 year, you know, there was no, like, well, making sure documents were authentic. I guess if you give them a wrong number or whatever, you can get found out about no matter what. But, you know, me and my wife don't have hardly anything, so we end up owing every year. It's ridiculous. So, like, what are you going to do with your refund? I'm like, what? Well, it's not really a refund. You're giving a crap load of your money to the government, and then they're giving back a small percentage, and in our case, how we end up paying more. If God only asked you to tithe 10%, how can you support a government that wants to tithe way more? But, I mean, that's the problem we have in this political world, you know, because you have this border wall that, how dare Trump, he's manufacturing all this bull crap. It's manufactured. It's all manufactured. It's all lies. All this border wall. It's this crisis is manufactured, even though Obama's talked about the border wall crisis and all this. It's a bunch of BS, this border wall crap. How dare Trump want to secure our borders? How dare? Trump walks out of a border security meeting easily. Okay, where are the Democrats? Where is their solution? Like I said before, Obamacare is unconstitutional BS. Where is the government's? Where's the Republicans' plan? When Trump came in, they had 8 years to have something. If they wanted to, they don't want something. They don't care. Because they're not on Obamacare. They're not 99.999999994 petitions, laws that they pass. They're not expected. They don't have to be a part of it. They pass all these laws, but do they have to obey by them? No. They got the best doctors, the best insurance, the best everything. What do we have? Oh, we have Obamacare. It's so great that the guy it's named after is exempt from using it. I shut one of my black friends up really quickly. I said, What's Obama's claim to fame? Obamacare? Yeah, it's so great that he's exempt from using it. He made sure that he didn't have to use it. I could support Barack Obama if he said, this is an amazing plan, and from now on, I will be using this exact same plan as you are. You're going to have to get in line because politicians get first dibs on the health care. At least you could be, then I could say, hey, at least you're mad because, hey, they're first. They're the first ones to do this, you know. You know, instead of being mad that, hey, this plan sucks, hey, it's so great that the politicians are using it, they were the first ones to use it and you had to fight for it, then probably be like, okay, this is no good, because since they're the first ones to do it and be on it, then what does it mean we're not going to get any coverage at all? But that's how this world is. Is manufacturing this problem. Why do all these politicians support Well, it goes back to Hillary Clinton. She was 199% against gay marriage. Now she thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But, hey. You know, that's the world we live in. You know, even Cher, you know, Sonny and Cher. Cher, the very liberal singer, demands Pelosi end political government shutdown and partial shutdown and fund border wall. Don't die on this hill. Because the more that they keep the government shut down, this is what Trump is wanting. See, we have the liberals for the first time by the ball. Hey, we want to have border security. We want to have a border wall. Not only are they not stepping up to the plate and they're just whining and complaining. They're not, where's their ideas? Where's their suggestions? We've taken a lot of their ideas. Well, don't do a concrete wall, do a steel wall, don't do this, do that, have this. And they and we've taken almost every suggestion they have and ran with it. But guess what, folks? They're not really putting forth any, like, hey, we offered this solution to the border wall. What they're saying is, well, no, we'll put $1 million to the wall, but that's all the funding. No, they're not giving any solutions. And that wall is going to cost way less than the, you guessed it, the illegals that come here that we have to take care of. But what you don't understand at the same time, a lot of people don't get this either, is there are stretches that don't need a wall because you basically have to go for miles and miles and miles and miles before you get to an interstate of nothing but severe desert that most people don't survive. You don't realize how many people die trying to cross the border illegally. Die. You know, it's all manufactured, even though Obama said it wasn't manufactured when he was president. This is amazing. I want to get into this story. Thank you, Jesus. Man's truck goes up in flames, but Bible left inside was unscathed. It's crazy. A guy's car is totally incinerated in the inside. I mean, the car is like lost, but the Bible is untouched. And there's a video of it too. It's just amazing. Makes you just want to cover your whole car in Bibles, because that way it's all protected. There you go. That's my advice for everyone. If that Bible went unscathed in that fire, cover your whole car in Bibles, and then you'll be protected. But it's just amazing, amazing story. I mean, this car is like total when it's done, but the Bible isn't. The Bible's like in like untouched condition. cover of the binding got a little bit messed up, but like the actual Bible inside that is like unscathed. I think it's just a cool story, you know. You know, this is just great, you know, because without, you know, Ted Nugent announces that he's going to have a star-studded benefit concert to build the wall. Man, it's awesome. It's great, you know. I still think we need to use the money seized from El Chapo. That's $14 billion. Yeah, see, but the problem you have, too, is, you know, there's been comments that supposedly Trump says he knows what we're going through and all this stuff. Well, Nancy Pelosi has multi-million dollars, and she claims that Trump can't relate to the average worker. These politicians don't want to have this. What people realize is the longer this partial government shutdown goes on, the longer it goes on, the more people are going to realize that, hey, the government's a waste of space. Like, what are we paying them for? I think we should go back to a partial government where you don't get paid at all and you have a full-time job and you part-time government. How about that one? How about we take the government and make them part-time workers? You know, to where, okay, you're in the government, but you don't get paid. You have a full-time job. And you have to work around your boss to get time off to come up to D.C. and to do your week's vacation. And you come up and you handle business. That's what that would really, you know. All these politicians, no matter what side of the aisle on, they're billionaires. They're not concerned. They don't care. This is really cool. I'm going to get into this. The Holy Grail found a rare penny that might be an auction worth about $1.7 billion. This is amazing because a Massachusetts teenager found in his lunch, change from lunch, what could be worth 1.65 million or 1.3 million euros when it is auctioned off. It is a famous 1943 Lincoln penny made of copper. It is one of the most famous coins in error, according to Herodot Auctions, which is auctioning the coin off, because it depends who you talk to. The government believes there's only 20 in existence ever made. I've heard they're at maxes of 40, where they made 40 pennies, and the government thinks it's only 20, but still, even 40s. Minuscule number of coins. And then they said, that's when they, at the same time, were saying, no, they're not make stop. And they stopped it instantly. And the pennies were made out of zinc with a copper coating, because they were saving the copper. No, it was zinc with the steel coating, the steel pennies, because the copper was being saved for the war effort, World War II. So, if I remember correctly, it was a zinc-coated steel. Yeah. My brain was, it's a steel penny that's zinc-coated. But only like a very, like 20, and they think at max 40 of the copper ones are made, and they're virtually, and when they come up for auction, they go for big dollars. So the odds of you finding one are like slim and none. But being a coin junkie AM, that's kind of cool. Just to feel the see one come up, like, wow. That's one of the holy grails of you guessed it. That's one of the holy grails of coins. Oh, yeah, because I'm going to get into this really quickly, because Manafort is accused of sharing polling data with Russians allegedly linked to the Kremlin. Manafort, yeah, so I'm assuming that's the same polling data that CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, and all them had, saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide. One of the greatest nights of my life when, you know, that's it, you know, I don't see, Trump, the only state he could possibly win is probably New York, and I highly doubt that because they're a Democratic. There's no way. I don't see Trump winning. It's going to be a landslide. Trump wins Kentucky. It's projected Trump will win Indiana. Trump wins, and what went from everyone saying for like months, our polling data has Hillary by like 50%. Everything they had, Trump ain't gonna win. Trump ain't gonna, like, okay. And guess what happened? Kentucky is in for Trump. Okay. Indiana for Trump. Michigan for Trump. Ohio for Trump. Pennsylvania for Trump. Florida for Trump. Everyone for, it's like, oh, that's right. Where did you get your polling data to? Obviously, you need to find new data. But thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, folks. I really hope you do. We got about 26 minutes just around there left in the program. And I never thought this would be a controversy, but it is. The new H.R. 420 bill that would actually remove marijuana from schedulization, make it legal and regulated like alcohol. I'm going to get into that and my thoughts on the new regulations on this. And then it's very, very divided because some people say it's a plant. I don't want this. I want marijuana just legal. I don't want it regulated. I don't want it, Some people, I kind of have that feeling, well, let's weed the idiots out, Don't tell kids not to eat Tide Pods. Have them eat them up. And the ones that are stupid enough to eat them, thin the gene pool. If you're smart enough to eat a dang Tide Pod, then you deserve the outcome. Tired of, a dude could sit there and drink like a fifth of Jack Daniels, a bottle of Everclear. No one would say, look at this. Look at this. Come on. But we need to, it's time we ban alcohol. No. But, if someone was to eat a 1,000-milligram bar of THC, that's evil. Look at that. Look at what it's doing to them. And you want that stuff legal? How dare you? Well, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be saying, if it was alcohol, you wouldn't be saying, hey, we need to ban alcohol. Look at what he's doing to himself. No, you wouldn't. But that's where it is. I want it legal. I want it. I can understand some regulation. I want it as legal as we can get it. I don't want it to be where you can't grow it, you can't do this. But then if you could grow your own and this and that, if you could grow, I don't know if I want to grow my own. I just want to be like, okay. I just want to be able to go get it and know that I have multiple varietals so I can say, okay, here's 75 varietals of cannabis. Let me see what best suits me. I don't want it to be so overly controlled to where it's like, it might as well just be illegal. What's the difference? You know what I mean? But You know, some people don't want it regulated at all. I want to be able to grow it, or at least have the right to. Because I did do some research, and I was talking to you the other couple programs about now that the cannabis, the hemp bill has passed, where hemp is legal. How does that work, and what's going on with that? And it's on a state by state basis. So, like, the state of Indiana may say, just hypothetically, I got to look at what our rulings, what we're saying, is they may have like permits. Where, okay, they hand out 20 permits, and if you have one of these permits, you can grow hemp. And it's probably going to be highly regulated. It's probably going to have to be, like, no THC whatsoever. You know, if you had hemp that had 0.00000000001% THC, you'd probably have to take your whole 75,000 acres and have it burned to the ground and tore up, because if you took every ounce of hemp you grew, all 75,000 acres, and extracted it, you'd probably have like a 0.1% THC. But, you know, that's, I don't want that either, you know, but because a bunch of people, like, if it's legal, I guess every state's different, so. Because it'd be cool if you could get it to where you could grow your own Charlotte's Web. Because if you look at a lot of places, like, we have a Fresh Thyme, and it's ridiculous what they want for, like, CBD oil. Ridiculous. Like, $99 for a bottle that is 11 milligrams per dose. But at least they're doing that, because they used to say, like, 1,200 milligrams. I'm like, yeah. And I was thinking that was per dose. Well, that's a whole bottle. It's like 5%. It's like 5 milligrams per dose. Like, okay. You know, I was wanting like 1,200 milligrams per dose. You know, like, cha-ching. I'm like, I want the equivalent in CBD oil to, if I take a dose, I want the equivalent to like smoking 22% CBD. And I'm surprised they can't breed in and breed CBD into it to where you can have like a 50% CBD plant to where, okay, to where there's more, so that you can grow weed and have more, you know, CBD in it. So you can extract more, I don't know. Because I've seen where you can buy, like, CBD crystals and all kinds of stuff. And I will do a buyer beware. If you're going to give your pet CBD, there's virtually CBD oils that I've seen. There's not a CBD oil that I've seen that would harm a pet. As long as you get, like, a plain CBD or whatever. You know, just get a plain CBD, nothing. And don't buy your pet a CBD pet gradual. Because I can tell you straight up, I've seen a lot of issues where they've done testing and there are CBDs that are for pets that have no CBD in them. None. Not one, but, you know, whatever. I mean, like, if you got hemp seed oil, you'd probably get more CBD, and there's virtually nothing in hemp seed oil. But That's the world we live in. I mean, just be careful, because they did a whole test, and I've said this before, and they tested a ton of CBD products that were commercially available, and they had virtually nothing in them. I was watching, because, like, we have a Medicap pharmacy now, like, where it's like an independent pharmacy, because we had one in our hometown where, like, because some medications have to be made to order. Like, my mom's been on nasal sprays that they take these three chemicals or whatever, and they mix it to order, and you have to, like, every week get it, because it doesn't, like, it can't stay, it has to be made, like, to order. And, you know, this is one of those where they do stuff like that, and if you can bring all your meds, and they can fill all your meds, you can give them, like, all your medications, and all your vitamins, and all your, you know, like, if you take iron, or if you take a daily vitamin or whatever, you know, you can sit there and they'll package it up. So, like, here's a morning dose, noon dose, and you just open up a pack, you know, and they can do all that for you for a small fee, which is virtually, you know, usually they just add, like, $2 into the, you know, and that's the currency, but, and it's a great feature. But they offer the, oh, we have CBD, we can help you with dosing and this and that. And I'm like, kind of taken back by it, but like, hey, CBD at a pharmacy, wow, finally. That stuff used to be. But what we don't want, as many of us in the cannabis industry want, we don't want to have to where, okay, we don't want to have a Marlboro, quote unquote, not Marlboro per se, but like a huge company like that, that, okay, yep, there's two strains of weed, and you know, we want to have a ton of strains. So guess what? I'm going to take this Charlotte, I'm going to take some Sour Diesel, and I'm going to take Deadhead, and when I mix it together and grind it up in this portion and smoke it, I get the relief of the CBD, the CBN, the CBA, the THC, and all the, and it helps me. You know, not like, well, I've already tried the two strains of weed you got, and well, that's all we have. And I think what would be really cool is if you could get, like, a place that, okay, that's what we do, is you want the weed, if you like a strain, then there's no, we can put it in cigarette form for you. We can roll it into a cigarette-type form. And we put a little thing on the end, that way, it's not really a filter, but it just, you have something to hold on to, so that you don't get any of the pieces in your mouth and all that stuff, and whatever the case may be, and it's, you know, you pick the varietal, because I think, honestly, if you want to cash in, that'd be the way to go, because not many people realize this. You want to know who made a crap load of money during the gold rush? The people that sold the pickaxes and the pans and all the stuff you needed to gold. Here's panning. These are the plates that you use for the panning of the gold. Here's the pickaxes and shovels. They made a killing because they made money no matter what, where if you went out and you got all that stuff, you didn't make a dime unless you found gold. Okay, we're down $4,000 in equipment, so we have to find $4,000 in gold just to break even. And you may find some gold, but you find $2,000. Okay, you're still $2,000 short of money for gold. And I really think I would love to have a shop like, okay, we're gonna put weed, we're gonna freeze dry it, and we're gonna roll it in cigarette form and put it, you know, like Irving gets. And if you freeze dry the weed and do it like he does, it preserves it and it can last for a long time. I think it was Oregon or Washington State where they have like 7 years worth of weed. We need to start freeze drying that stuff to preserve it. But I mean, if you had a place where, okay, if you found the weed you liked, okay, and we roll it in cigarette form for you so you can have easy access to it, there you go. I think it's going to be someone like that that comes out with a way of doing this. You know, someone that comes out with, okay, this is not really a filter per se. This is just something that's on the end of our cannabis cigarettes so that that's what goes in the mouth to smoke. But it's just mainly to keep the particles from not getting into your mouth, you know, so that when you're near the end, so you can smoke it all the way to the end without trying to hold the very end and try to light that low. Nah, this keeps you so that you can use the cannabis all the way to the end, get your medicine. You know, so I think that's something that I think is going to hit the spot. You know, someone that comes up with something like that or a way to, you know, because look at what Irving gets and how he gets it. Got about 13 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And I want to get into, got about 13 minutes left, and I want to get into some of the Premier League action. And, you know, as you know, we're taking on Tottenham coming up on Sunday. And, You know, if Solskjaer can win and beat Pochettino, is Pochettino really the man? And is Solskjaer, I mean, who are we going to get? You know, there's evidence that Tony Alderweireld is looking at possibly a transfer of him to United. There's all kinds of stuff. Skinnier, there's a £45 million transfer bid from him, which, oh, I'd take him in a heartbeat. Him over Koulibaly for sure, but you know what all this stuff is happening and going on, and what do you think, and what's my opinions? And to me, I look at it from this standpoint. You know, I'm sure we've talked to Pochettino under the table. I'm sure we've talked to Zidane. I'm sure they've talked to LeBlanc. I'm sure. I hate to say it, but I'm sure they've talked to Antonio Conte and some of these defensive, pragmatic managers, but I'm sure they've talked to him. I kind of think they might have talked to Pochettino, because when he's made those comments, it's kind of like, hey, if you don't spend, then guess what? I'll go elsewhere. And I'm not putting players down. I'm not saying that Tony Alderweireld is not a good manager or anything like that. I mean, a player or any of the Tottenham players are bad players. I'm just saying, he's like, you know, we got to do it out. We got to be an out person. You're going to have players that when they get to their 30s, they're not going to be as good as they were. And, you know, if you have injuries and this and that, and some players can't go and do like they used to. You know, if you played for a team, you scored 20 goals or 30 goals a year, and now you're scoring 2 or 3. That's a big difference. Well, you can't get rid of him. Well, look at what he was doing: 30 goals. Now he's 2 or 3. We need to constantly get rid of the deadwood and people that are not up to. Not that they can't play football, but they can't play it to the level that we need you to be at for a Manchester United team or a Real Madrid or whatever the case may have you. I mean, it's not putting anybody down, but there comes a time when, okay, if you can't do and go, then, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is a rarity to be as fit as he is and go and do. Not many players play at 31 or 32 like they did when they were 25 or 24. I mean, his last couple years at Real Madrid, he was as good as he was at United. He was dominant. One of those things moving forward. You know, do you want to get Pochettino? I kind of feel like he's like, we got some decent players, but we need to spend money and get some even better players to be with these. Okay, you're a great, great player, but if we get him, he is going to make you even better. You know, it's like if you had a bad kitchen and you're one good guy, it's going to be hard, but if you say, hey, let's get like two more great people to help you get these players to be even better, you know, you got to continually invest. And if Tottenham's not willing to continually invest and make the team better, sorry, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go where somebody is saying, hey, I want to invest in the youth. I want to invest in some good players because we got great players, but I want to bring in some new players so that as these great players start to wind down their careers, these players can step in and fill that void. And then I want to have some players that, okay, as these players take the void of the players they got now, these people can step up and be prepared to be ready to help out and keep the cycle going. You know, so that if something happens to one of these players that moved up to the first team, hey, Let's give him some chances. He's doing great in the under-21s. Let's give him, he's been at the academy for 7 years. Let's give him a shot. You know, and it's, you know, because me and my wife kind of got into it, because me and my wife talk football. We get into it. And I'm like, I'm not putting in, what I tried to explain to her, and I'm trying to explain to you is, Manchester United has some deadwood that's got to be moved out. They're past their prime. And you need to be like Tottenham. Pochettino's not dissing his players. He's saying, we got great players, but we need to continue to get in new great players so that as these players, that way I can switch them around. Everyone's okay. I'll give you this game off and he comes in, or vice versa. That way, if he's injured, we got someone to back him up. And when these players start to wind down their careers, he can come in and bang. We don't have to, okay, yeah, these players are winding down their careers and they're leaving on their free accord because it's too much. And since they're winding down their careers, it's too much. Okay, well now, you know, I mean, yeah, 5 years ago, Jerome Boateng might have been great at United, but, you know, he's past his prime. And I don't want to have a manager. I don't want to have another defensive pragmatic manager that's just looking for someone that's got 2 years left in their career that they don't have to train, that they can just hopefully get 2 years out of them and then get more people that have 2 years left. I want to have people, and I think Pochettino kind of sounds like Alex Ferguson, where he goes, yeah, we got great players, but we got to continuously keep getting good players so that when these players leave on their own accord or their careers wind down, these players can step up. Or if someone's injured, they can step up. The way I would take Pochettino, I think he'd be great. I mean, that's if he doesn't stay at Spurs. I think there's a good chance he could stay there. There's no guarantee that Zidane is even going to go to the United. I mean, he may say, hey, I don't... Okay, give me $100 million a week, and I just don't want to do the Premier League. Sorry, $200 million a week. No, I don't want to manage in the Premier League. You never know. I would laugh if he got hired right back on at Real Madrid. I'd laugh. I'm like, oh Lord, what did he do? But you know, I don't know. LeBlanc, I think, would be a great fit. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think we can gamble. I don't know. I think we'll see when we take on true tests like Tottenham coming up and you know some of these top teams, that will show how bad or good we are. And what I mean by that is it'll show, okay, this is the problem, or this is where we have issues. You know, because like the first several games, Manchester United should have been able to win at least 1-0 every team there, even without a manager. Go out there and you know how to play football, win it. Where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came out there, we're going to do this, we're going to have these, and it was good victories. I think even with the players we had, the pragmatic football that Jose did, we would have probably won them all, but some of them would have been close. Reading, I don't know. Reading, we probably would have lost or drew, but I think it would have been one-nil victories on some of those. Or maybe 2-1. But, you know, I just think CS getting skinnier, I think we could get him. I honestly think Koulibaly is a good open target that I think that might be that could be possibly coming. Tony Otavero, I think he's kind of in this. He's like a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, I would have said bring him, you know. But he's someone that I think is near the end of his tenure. And I don't see, I want to get some people in I'm looking for several things. I'm looking to get some of the Deadwood out of Manchester United. Phil Jones, got to go. You know, Mata should go. Rojo, go. But we need to get some players that can be dominant now, but we need to also bring in some other players that are decent but are going to only improve and in 2 years are going to be dominant or 3 years are going to be dominant. That way we're constantly having a flow of great players. You know, and I guess that's what, you know, because my wife didn't understand what I was talking about. I'm like, no, Cunningham's got great players, don't get me wrong, but we need to continuously keep great players coming to replace, you know, so like the tobacco industry. And you know, we need to sit there and your job is to get 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 new kids smoking to replace those that quit or die. And, you know, we need to constantly have new players in there. But I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you do. And as a programming note, around February, like around the 5th to the 10th, I'm probably not going to be doing shows that week because I'm going to be moving. So, and then the 16th is my birthday, and I'm, if all things go well, I'm going to be up in Michigan doing cannabis training. So we'll see how that goes. So, but I'm going to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And remember, Trump, build that wall. Stand your ground. Stand for what every liberal has stood for a very, very, very long time. You know, if everyone in the room is against you, if you have 1,000 people in the room and everyone says go right and you say go left, just because you're that one person that says go left doesn't mean you're wrong and they're right. But of course, everyone would say, well, it doesn't mean he's right either. You know, bang to the beat of your own drummer. That's the problem, you know. You know, you sometimes got to do what's right, what's PC. Let's not, well, how dare you? You had a birthday party with lawn darts? My son, cause, yeah, well, if you got hurt, you know what? You know, sorry, but you need to get these, like, these kids out of these plastic bubbles, you know? These schools that have all these, like, allergen-free areas. Well, there's no allergen-free, there's no safe space in the world. In the real world, you're out, and if you get offended, you get offended. If you don't, you don't. That's how we live. Remember, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till next Tuesday, good night, everybody, and God bless. Goodbye.